Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tafts of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. I am getting the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. And my guest, my defending champion of all things honor and defense in football in Super Bowl 35, would love to come out and have a real crab cake. I was out in Albuquerque last week, and the place I was had Maryland style crab cakes. But Marvin Lewis is going to be my guest, and I'm doing the crab cake tour. I will be doing Raven scratch offs at Costas. We're going to be at Coco's. We're going to be at Pizza John's, honoring the late great Craig Heist as well. So I'll be doing all that. And bye week allows me to call old friends, new friends, people that still put up with me and like me all these years later, even decorated, honored individuals like my friend Marvin Lewis, 30 years into this, watching football. First things first, man, what are you doing? I mean, you were here like a minute ago coaching the Raiders again, and I mean, are you happy? I love you so much. I just want you to be happy, Marv.
I'm good, but before we get to that, you mentioned Coco's. It
See?
just happened that we keep the freezer stocked with Coco's around here now, even in Scottsdale. So that's all good.
See, Marcella's going to be so pleased about this. That all it's almost like a crab cake tour stop here at Coco. So I hope you do you drink wine with that? Is that like you go white wine with that, or what do you do? Is old
No,
fashioned beer?
we're not drinking much wine anymore.
You're not allowed to do that?
No, not as much anymore,
Oh
but
God, I'm gonna raid your cellar, what's left of it then. I need to do
yeah.
that. But you get,
I'm
how are you? What are you doing? You were doing the
good.
Raiders and you were there with your protege,
So
yeah?
I'm working for Sports USA that carries two NFL football games each Sunday. And so I do the color on one of the broadcasts. I guess I've done this four games so far this season. And I have like three or four upcoming. I was hoping to get to come to Baltimore a couple weeks ago to do the Texans game, but they kind of bumped me for Brandon Noble. But that's the way it goes. He could get on a train, they have to put me on a plane. So,
Well,
but no, I have enjoyed it.
you're out in Phoenix, right? You're out in the Phoenix area and where your daughter was and where you coached Arizona State and all that. Are you done? Are you done coaching, or you still want the phone to ring? Do something.
No, I would say I'm pretty much done coaching, and Peggy's not even here to give me shit about
I've never heard you say,
it.
do you say I'm pretty much done coaching? Did you say that?
It's
Have you said that in Cincinnati yet? Or I mean, is this the first? Are you letting the cat out the bag here? Because we're friends.
no, it's I had been done, and then they drug me back in last year. I mean, I do appreciate I appreciate the opportunity to help. Try to help somebody out, help a friend. And people reach out that way, and then you think about it. That's the thing. But that's the thing. It's just, if I could support and help somebody, I still stay really in touch with the guys here at ASU. If I'm in town, I spend one day a week down there at ASU, watching tape with the coaches, watching practice, sit with the head coach, talk to him. He has questions to bounce off, and a couple of the players, they have a really good wide receiver who kind of wants to know what's up next, and so I try to help talk to him. Although he's got a really good mentor in Hines Ward there now, so that's a good thing.
What did you love about it? Like at the end, I mean, at the end just with the Raiders, like they're what's the essence of it that you love?
I you love the preparation. You love the work and the preparation, and people don't understand this, but you actually do relish the hours. And the get home at 1 a.m. and I only rented a home. It was three lights from the office, so it was really cool. But there were a couple of days where I had to act like I was home and call my wife and say I'm home, and I really wasn't. But
How you getting any golf in like this, man?
Well, I didn't get any golf in. Golf was secondary to that. And I really enjoyed last year, and unfortunately they pulled the rug from under us, which wasn't fair in my opinion, in how Antonio was treated. It wasn't fair. Nothing got done that needed to be done to help us win football games. And then the injuries just start to mount, and then you're in trouble.
Came in
It's
and beat the
hard to
Ravens out of the gate,
Yeah.
right? Literally.
Well, we had a little bit. We had lost one starter then. But Devontae had a very good game that day. And then he got hurt 2 weeks later, and we when he then we trade he was hurt, and then we traded him. So, but we just struggled at quarterback all year, and we had a bunch of guys get hurt on defense, and it just makes a difference when you don't have your guys. You begin the season, you have the 53-man roster, and you just hope and pray, fingers crossed, that you can weather the storms of injuries and you don't get decimated at one position. And when that happens, I mean, really, it's really hard.
Well, and I guess that brings me to where we are here with the bye, right? Like, I mean, good, bad, ugly. You had playoff teams, you had bad teams, you had hurt quarterbacks, you had second string, third string, you had brothers of quarterbacks, of first string quarterbacks in your day. The Ravens circumstance. If you're calling the Ravens game this week, I mean, if you and I got together privately, it might be a different conversation, but just from a general, and I've gone after John about accountability and these guys going out the back door and the injuries, they had $150 million worth of football player that wasn't on the field had you been in here for that Houston game.
Well, and that's there you go. You kind of just stay literally. I'm hearing from a lot of people in Cincinnati regarding the same kind of things. Because when you lose your quarterback, it's hard. And then you have other, if other guys are hurt at other positions, I think Van Noy's been out for a while, from what I understand. And so you leave Roquan's out. You lose a lot of the leadership. Kyle Hamilton, I think, was out. I mean, you lose a lot of leadership on defense, and I mean that's hard to replace. That's unfortunately the part of the NFL that you can't gauge. There's no way you can look at a crystal ball going into the season. You just hold your breath and you hope these things happen, and we can continue to play with the same guys. Because when you can't. It's even, what's the word I want to say? You play the other side of the ball plays so tight because they know they have such a thin margin of error.
Marvin Lewis is my guest. He is golfing, calling games, doing all this stuff on the radio, and being a grandpop. And finally, after all these years, making me feel good that you might live a longer life just getting the hell out of the business. You know what I mean? But for the Ravens and for injuries and for defense, and your name gets brought up in all sorts of ways about how awful the '96 defense was and how great the legendary. I mean, you've been on both sides of this. I sat in offices with you and Jim Schwartz and Mike Smith, looking at film of how bad it was and how great it got, and how you survived it, and through all that period of time, and it got you a gig, and you survived all sorts of gigs in Cincinnati with good teams, bad teams, and you don't even know what you have. I mean, Harbaugh thinks I hate him. I picked him to win the Super Bowl 7 weeks ago. So did a lot of other people. And now at 1-5, trying to pick this thing up in bye week. I mean, what does this represent for the organization at this point, trying to get Lamar healthy and trying to get uprighted where, Cincinnati and Cleveland probably aren't coming, but wow. I mean, Tomlin's got him playing in Pittsburgh. Rodgers looks, I mean, they're out in front on this thing, trying to catch up and trying to get through the bye, get motivated and say, all right, let's get to 2-5. Let's get to 3-5. Let's get to 4-5. Because certainly from my perspective as a media guy looking at the schedule, looking at the quarterbacks they're going to be facing the next few weeks, they got a chance. I'm not joking with John when I write a nasty letter to him for the public to see, where I say, I think you'll be 7-7. I wouldn't bet against them winning some games here and getting it to the point where when they get to December, they're going to have to go win some big games. But I don't feel like it's over for them. And I don't know how many 1-5 teams you could say that about, Marv.
No, I think when you got, you have the quarterback they have, and those guys I mentioned on defense, particularly Roquan and Kyle. I mean, what great players they are, the versatility. I think the corner has been out also. And it's just hard. But I think if those guys can they this week in the bye gives them another week to get healthy and get an opportunity to get back out there and win games. I don't think they've played the Steelers yet, have they?
No, they play twice late, and the
Yeah,
bank,
so they haven't
Bengals
played.
late, and
Yeah, they haven't played the Steelers. They've obviously played Cleveland, right? Once, but and they haven't played Cincinnati yet. So I think, both Cincinnati and them are both looking up, saying, "Hey, we just got to get going." But you got to take your hat off to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers and what Aaron Rodgers is doing. I mean, They're surprising everybody. And I got to see some before the game I did yesterday. I got to see some of the highlights of that game with him, and it's he's doing a great job.
Speak to job security and your role. I sat with you a couple times, thinking it might be your last swan song in Cincinnati, and you survived several cycles of hiring. John's at a point where it's amazing. Mike Tomlin, you referenced all, Tomlin's been fired by the Pittsburgh people as much as you were fired by the people in Cincinnati, as much as fire John today, fire Zach Orr, bring in Chuck Pagano. You just all sorts of nonsense that you taught me 30 years ago. Don't listen to that. That's not what's really going on in here. I don't think anybody's getting fired knowing Mills. I don't think that they are an upheaval kind of franchise in the same way that the family in Cincinnati didn't want upheaval with you, and in Pittsburgh and the Rooney family, that these long tenured coaches, you always say to me, you do get smarter as you get older. This is your chance to convince me that John's getting smarter here.
Yeah, well, you do, and you mentioned Zach, and Zach took over a really good situation. There's probably it was a lot left from a year ago, and now this year they're dealing with the injuries, so it's a different situation. And I think isn't Chuck already there helping?
Chuck is there. Yeah, Chuck's doing
Yes,
secondary. Yeah.
yeah. So, but it is. It's just hard. It's hard to patch all the holes when you've had injuries like that. And but if they get the offense back going with Lamar, the one thing that is different in the past, they kind of have kept a quarterback a more in Lamar style, and I think in the past, and this year they chose not to do that. And so you have to change a little bit offense. So Monk's got to change. He's having to change and adjust to the new style of quarterback that he's playing with. Monk's a great, he has some really good football coaches there. And they didn't get all of a sudden get dumb.
Well, there's not having Ricard in the offense all year long. The Henry Lamar sleight of hand, the RPO, the misdirections, the things that would give either one of them 5 yards of space to get a head start and to find holes. The operating in second and one and second and two all day long, never seeing third down, not even knowing who your punter is. Like all of these things that when they're freight training these NFC teams that really had matchup problems and identification problems and speed problems with the Lamar Purple Revolution. We just haven't seen it this year, Mark. Since the first half of Buffalo, this thing hasn't looked or felt right. And when the offensive line isn't moving bodies and your guards are losing every battle and every play, and now Ronnie Stanley is out, and you don't have that big fat back in Ricard that you want to operate with. And it doesn't feel like Lamar wanted to run the ball pre-hamstring injury, that he wanted to be that takeoff. I'm going to go 30 yards on you if you give me some space. It hasn't felt like that engine to me, Marvin. And I don't know that. Listen, I'm not betting against Lamar, and I'm not betting against John. I'm not betting against them and their talent for all the reasons we've discussed. But man, I'm not seeing it with my eyes, and I haven't seen it yet. And the line plays problematic on both sides of the ball for them, Marv.
Yeah. Well, I haven't seen it, as I said. I saw a little bit of the Buffalo game, and I really haven't seen much of their game. I just know what I read about the injuries, and just knowing having been on the coaching side of that, how you're having to dig a little deeper and find a different way. And that's the most difficult part, and you need one side of the ball in the case of that to make some explosive plays, whether it's a turnover or it's in down deep somebody else territory, to give the offense a short field or an explosive play on offense. And then it gets, kind of gets the juices for everybody going, and maybe you play a little better than you are. You play a little bit above your necks. And I hopefully this bye will help them get the ship righted and move forward and get right back in the race, because a lot of football left.
It's so problematic when you can't get after the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they've had that problem. They traded Oweh, and now Robinson gets hurt. I mean, Van Noy was, out the back door, not playing a lot and kind of long in the tooth and was injured himself. from your perspective, with no pass rush, what do you do? Cover your ass
That's
off, right? That, right?
you mentioned 96.
Well, that's why I'm bringing that up. I'm seeing you with the little red pointer and Schwartzy in the corner with his little sandwich in the bag.
I can't draw good players. I can doodle all I want, but I can't doodle the guys that can knock the quarterback down.
Well,
It's
that
that's hard
changed
to
for
do.
you here. Let's talk about things everybody here is familiar with. By the way, Marvin Lewis is my guest, as always, the man, the myth, the legend. I remember you and I out of Pertucci's. I tell people this. We would go into Pertucci's and they would have those crayons and we'd order pizza and you'd be drawing up X's and O's that if I have McCrary, if I had Goose do this, if we got Sam Adams to come play, hey, Woodson, we can move Woodson over to safety. He can play. Like, you had all of these conceptual things, but a lot of it really was like McCrary, Boulware, rush the quarterback. Is Boulware a linebacker? Is he an edge rusher? Can he put his hand in the dirt? Does he want to drop back and cover? He didn't. Like, all of those things that going after the quarterback is where the money is and where the glory is and where the sack dance is and all that. But it really is getting the offense off the field. And if you
No, it's
can't
really,
pressure the quarterback, you're done.
if you want to affect the other sideline, you knock the quarterback down. You want to get the other sideline's attention, you knock their quarterback down. And that's what you got to, you got to try to do. And when you can't get there, you're trying other things. But it's kind of a double-edged sword of when you can't get pressure, now the guys in the back end have to cover so much longer. And that's a hard job. I tell these cornerbacks all the time, you have the second hardest job in football, other than the guy under center, because you have to cover somebody who is probably faster than you. He might be bigger than you, and he knows where he's going. And you know what? You can't touch him. But other than that, it's an easy job. So that's a hard job back there when the quarterback's not getting affected with pressure.
Marvin Lewis is here trying to educate me about football, about all that I've known or forgotten, from our first chance meeting. For the league's perspective, and you going around the league, trends and different things that you see, the kickoff thing's so screwy, right? Like, I mean, I think the fans are trying to understand it. Kickers are trying to pooch. It reminds me, in my friend Rob DeBase's backyard, his fence, we played wiffle ball. When we were little, hitting it over the fence was like hard to do. And then all of a sudden, like, it wasn't, and hitting the fence was a home run. Hitting it over the fence became an out. And it sort of reminds me of my wiffle ball in my backyard in the 1970s. I'm like, competition committee, and listen, a lot about safety. I'm all for safety, especially as we all get older and I've seen too many guys get hit in the head. But it is a little strange, and I don't think we've mastered it in any way, right?
No, if we backed up and talked about, the kickoff, and oh, supposedly it was causing the higher rate of concussions, so we adjusted those things, and then all of a sudden somebody gets upset in a bar in New York City, and that guy at Park Avenue hears it, and now he wants to adjust it and make it so there's more returns again. But it's still kind of a funky thing to have guys have their back turned. And that's not how football was intended, that I got my back turned, and now I'm trying to block a guy with my back turned, and they're moving, and I can't move till they move, and I don't know when. It's really weird. And but it is causing more returns until you get an advantage, and then you're going to kick it for the touchback and say, hey, make them go to the field, because you don't want to give up plays. And that's the most difficult thing for me. Was I didn't want to risk guys getting hurt, having to cover too many kicks. And I know the field position thing has changed, the go forward attitude because of analytics has changed, but it also has to become a feel for your football team and their health in that particular point of the game.
Been around college campuses a little bit. I mean, if you and I were having a glass of wine together and having a meal talking about this stuff, the NIL part of this and how the college campuses have changed and how the sport has changed. You've been on both sides of it as a player, as a young man, and a coach and a recruiter, Idaho State, all your background and then making your chops in the NFL and trying to deal with agents and players and wives and families and the differences of all of it. I can't imagine anything paradigm shift quite like college sports, male, female, black, white, every sport across the country, rich schools, poor schools. Just, I don't understand it. It confuses me. And I was on your campus out in Tempe a couple of weeks ago having some pancakes at the Snooze AM right there in Tempe, downtown Tempe. And we took one of those crazy Waymos that don't have a driver. It was the best,
Waymo.
man. I can't wait to come back to Phoenix. I'm taking a Waymo to your house from Sky Harbor. Nice and silent. But like just being on the campus and feeling college and college life for athletes. It just has to be amazing over these years from when you started coaching ASU when you left the Bengals to whatever it is now. Because whenever I talk to any coach in any sport, it really is the wild, wild west.
It's been a real evolution, but a lot of it's been really positive. And I think for some families it's been game changing, and that's great if they are counseled and directed that this money isn't forever. And but can it can give somebody a jump start, because they're not all going to make it to the National Football League. That's the number one thing. They're not all going to make it to the National Football League. Less than, I don't know, 3 or 4% is all going to make it. Because when you're in the NFL, like when you're in junior high, people graduate and they move on. When you're in high school, people graduate and they move on. When you're in the NFL, you hold on to your chair. You like that seat. And so the attrition rate is not as big, the graduation rate or whatever you want to call it out of the NFL, because guys want to play. But like just going back to ASU, there's no more talk about, man, I got to pay for a parking pass. That's part of what they get NIL wise. So they get a parking pass. Those kind
That
of
sounds like a
minute,
small thing, but that's not a
it
small
is
thing to an
it's not
18-year-old
a
kid.
small thing that an ASU can't give kid. You know what I mean? Because it was, I don't know, $500, $600 a semester. So most of them didn't do it. You know, a lot of them didn't do it, because it wasn't included in a scholarship. So one of the first things they did was, okay, we're putting money into that, so y'all get a parking pass. So we don't have to fool with the tickets. The guy's not out there with the boot every other day. When I'd look out the window
Oh,
from my
jeez.
office
Can you imagine? I
and
mean,
see the guy out there
these
in the
kids are
with the
trying to go
boot.
to school, meet girls, have fun, play football, be NFL player, like just all of it, right? Like it's, I
But
spent
that's
5 minutes in a bar in Scottsdale there with all young people, and I'm like, this is a world
Oh,
that I'm not.
it's a different world. And I can remember during COVID looking out my window and Coach Edwards coming in my office, Herm coming in my office, and I said, "Coach, we've got no shot." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I see, you see, look out there. Because the stairs, the Sun Devil Stadium, became the aerobics gym for the co-eds who had made it back to campus. I said, "We've got no shot, you know, because we're telling the players you need to stay kind of quarantine in your own groups and everything." And you know,
It's
it is what
college
it is.
life, man.
It's college life and it's ASU life, more importantly. And when it's 115 and there's not a lot of jackets being worn.
The misters are on, for sure. Marvin Lewis is here. He is still loving football, talking about football, calling football weekly. And but per his wife, his kids, how's Marcus? What's he doing?
Marcus is helping out at UNLV. So he's still living over there in Henderson, Nevada, and helping out at UNLV. And they're 6-0 right now. And I don't know how, but they're doing it. They're finding a way to win. They've got
Rebels
a
are running, are they?
running Rebs are doing it. They got a quarterback who makes plays. He's like the Caucasian version of Lamar Jackson. I mean, the kid is amazing. And I don't think he, I don't know, I've not, he might be 5'11",
Okay.
but he is
I
amazing.
like guys that are built like me that can actually do it.
And
I tell
I
Muggsy
mean,
that.
he makes plays all the time. And he just, you know, they beat Air Force, I don't know, was it, I think it was either 48-51 or 51-4 or 55-51 or something on Saturday. I couldn't stay for the whole end because I was flying to Chicago to get to Green Bay to do the game on Sun to give the game yesterday. So, but it's an amazing thing. So they got to go to Boise this week. So again, they got a tough road trip. to a team that, has a great history, great tradition, was in the playoffs last year. Man, they're doing it, and it's been fun to go to the games, and it's a little different atmosphere than the Raider games at Allegiant Stadium. But
Yeah, I saw somebody post a picture. It looks like they get like 8,000 people in the lower deck kind of
nah,
surround. Yeah, a little bigger than that.
that's probably a little more than that, but there's a great tradition of football at UNLV, and we were
Kenny
standing
Mayne
in.
tells me that every time I talk to
We
him.
were standing in line to go into the stadium the other day because the gates didn't open till 11 o'clock, and these two older men, gentlemen, were standing there, and they were talking to us and explaining everything. I said, "You guys aren't first timers here, are you?" He's like, "Oh no, we've been to a few games."
That's
And I
Randall
mean,
Cunningham, probably.
he looked at my he saw my he looked over my shoulder and saw my ticket, and he said, "Oh yeah, you're in my section." And I said, "That's all right." He said, "Yeah, we're in a good section. We get, we get free beer, we get free food, we get da 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 da." But I didn't have that wristband he had. So, but no, it's been good, and it is amazing. And they've done good. Marcus Arroyo did well there. The kid that's Odom, who's at Purdue now, he did well. So they've had coaches the last 3 years, Dan Mullen now, that have done good jobs there the last five. I guess it's been 5 years since Marcus was there. So, because he's been at ASU now, this is third year at ASU. So, they've done a nice job.
Mar
And,
well, just Marcus coaching and having a kid that is now a coach, I couldn't say I saw
well,
that coming.
he's actually, and the guy he's coaching is leading the country in interceptions. He's coaching the nickelback, number nine, Brown. And it was funny because on the sideline there was a guy who is kind of one of those talent brokers in the Las Vegas area. And him and Marcus have jived pretty good, I guess, together, and he was, it was the first time I met him, and he was like, "Oh, I just love Marcus. We talk all the time," and da da da. And he had a couple kids with him, visiting for the game, and he says, "Man, it's just in his blood." I said, "Well, shoot," he said, he spent his first night at Westminster College when he was 6 years old.
On a cot.
No, he had a bed in the room. He had a
It
bed.
wasn't even a bed. I saw the
Yeah.
beds there. I'm back in the day. Marv, I love you. We'll talk some football down the line. I don't feel so bad about calling you now because I feel like I'm keeping you out of trouble, keeping you off the golf course, keeping you away from football, in the way that, Peggy can have you back after all of these years. But does it feel fulfilling to be like,
It does.
on the
I
reservation?
get bored earlier in the week until I start getting prepared to do a game. Like, I didn't have like that week of the Baltimore Texans game. I didn't have a game, so I had anything to do early in the week. Now
I'll call you more often then. You can be
we're
my football
today.
analyst.
Yeah, I looked, and now I've got already the clips from the Chargers and the Colts, already by email, so I can start reading this afternoon. And because our golf course has been closed since the second week of April. So we've had to travel around the reciprocals and so forth. So, and I think we're supposed to open up till November 18th. So no golf over, right, local golf right here where I live for a bit. But no, it keeps me busy. I enjoy watching the tape. That's why I spend time with the coaches at ASU, and they want me to, literally, when we did the game, I did the Raiders game in Foxborough. So on my Surface tablet, I was looking at the defensive tackle the Patriots got from the Eagles, I think. I can't remember his name now. And then on my iPad, I had the UNLV game. Okay.
So cheering for
And
Marcus, okay.
on the screen in the room, ASU was on, I think, playing Iowa State. So, I had three things going on at once in my hotel room that evening when we came back from dinner. And I was still, trying to get prepared to call the game the next day and know a little bit more about the guy that was playing defensive tackle, because I wasn't familiar with him.
We got all that wisdom, all that football going on. You got to stay engaged here over the weekend. It's like the Godfather. They're never going to pull you out before it's all over with. So hopefully one day you and I will get a meal again together and be in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, you got
Hopefully
it. We'll
call a
see.
Ravens game here.
Yeah. I was thinking about you like that taco place here too, the Mission, and you got a lot of places,
I got spots. I
you
mean,
got
but
spots.
here's what I did. So I've done a couple bucket list things. I hit you to come to Phoenix. You weren't there. You were golfing or something. But I went to the Celebrity Theater in Phoenix, which is a little circle theater that's just like Painter's Mill was here in the 70s with the stage that revolves. And the other bucket list thing I did, and this was on my bucket list when I met you, because I have the notes from my Tony Robbins Firewalk in the summer of 1994 that I wrote down that I wanted to do the Albuquerque hot air balloon fiesta. And I don't know anybody who loves New Mexico more than your wife, and who has talked about Albuquerque and New Mexico more than Peggy. And I don't know that I've ever talked to you about the hot air balloons or any of that stuff, but I finally did it because it's my birthday week this week. It's in the middle of football season, so I can never kind of break away to do it. And I'm going to tell you, that was one of the greatest things I've ever done. And I know you have a place in Santa Fe and your wife loves Albuquerque, but that hot air balloon thing on a bucket list basis for anybody I know, it was one of the greatest things I've ever done.
It is. It's cool. And it's like everybody walks around with a smile because it's the coolest thing. And, Peggy was there, was it, yeah, Monday morning. She was there and she sent me pictures. But the balloon I loved was when pigs fly. That was my favorite balloon. She sent me a picture
I
of
have that one.
it.
It flew on Wednesday. I'm going to say we were there Wednesday morning, and it couldn't have been any more glorious. I mean, just perfect weather, perfect trip, perfect place. Everything's perfect except not hanging with you and your grandkids. So maybe we'll do that. Have your grandkids done the balloon chat?
They haven't done that. They
All
haven't
right,
done
all
that.
right. That, how old are they now? Give me the ages.
Grayson turned 9, Camden turns 7 November 1st, and Little Dude will be 5 in January. And Little Dude, so Grayson came here for his birthday. Camden, I think he was maybe, he couldn't decide because he's such a hockey fan.
Is that Camden after New Jersey or Camden after Camden Yards? Because your daughter was raised
Just,
here.
no, just,
Just
just
Camden.
Camden.
All right.
Just Camden, and then, and not Cam, just Camden. Or we
Okay.
call him CJ because Camden James, because he did get both his grandfather's name from my son-in-law and Peggy's father's name, so Camden James. And then Collins said he wants to go Santa Fe. He said, "Pop, I want to go Santa Fe for my birthday." And I said, "Well, we'll have to go skiing." He said, "Okay."
How old is this kid?
He'll be 5 in
Just
January.
5. Okay, all right. So it sounds like he's running. Sounds we got leadership.
Oh
You're
yeah,
training little leaders, Marv.
he's got the yeah. He keeps up with his big brothers, and that's a good thing.
All right. Well, here's what I want to do. This is my new bucket list is to do this with Whit, you, the kids, and like do all that and go back to Albuquerque and then go to Santa Fe and raid your wine cabinet. All right.
All right.
I got it all figured out. I got it
You
all
got
figured
it. You
out.
got to do that. You got it figured out.
I love you, Marv. See you
All
soon,
right,
man.
man. Good to see you.
Marvin Lewis, head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, defensive coordinator of our 2000 Super Bowl 35 champions. And Marv, you'd be happy to know when I was in Albuquerque, I was up at 5 in the morning getting the Uber, and I looked up, and I swear in the lobby, Brian Billick's face pops up from that Baltimore Bullies thing. Rob Burnett's grabbing Spurgeon Wynn and breaking him in two. So the legend never dies, even at 5 in the morning at the
That's great.
courtyard in Albuquerque. I am Nestor. We are WNSD, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Bullying no one, but talking Baltimore football with Marv.